that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but
you didn't have to play it. Like Brother Carol says, do you band?
Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. A precious gift that grace appeared. The hour I first believed.
I would ask an interest in your prayers this evening as we stand before you for a few moments, and that our chief prayer is that the Lord will be with us. That he might bless us this hour. It's one thing for me to come. Another Amen. Thing for me to come without the Lord. we do trust that he has brought us this way. And his bringing us to his glory. Not 2 hours or anything like that, but that all be to his, all praise be to the Lord our God. And pray for me.
Amen.
I want to go to the Psalms this evening. You know, the Psalms provide us with a great comfort. But then again, so does all the Word of God.
Amen.
When the Lord blesses that Word to land upon a heart that he has prepared. A heart that hungers, just likened into the heart that panteth at the water brook, that our hearts hunger for the things of Almighty God. The 27th Psalm. And I just want to start there at verse 1. And see where the Lord leads from there. And it begins, David says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When we consider this world that we live in, or when we can consider this country, that we live in, or we can even make it smaller than that and bring it right down to our very neighborhoods and those places that we find ourselves traveling through each and every day of our lives. Brethren, our journey is much the sweeter when we're blessed to realize, as the psalmist has penned here, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is.
Yes, he is.
Our light. You know, we read in another psalm that thy word is as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when we consider who we are in the Lord and how it is that God provides to us our every need. I mean, I don't care what that need happens to be, whether we have been afflicted with some natural sickness, or whether our need seems to be much smaller, maybe just in our minds. But it doesn't really matter how small that need is, or how great, or even how overwhelming it might appear to our hearts at the moment. We serve a Lord. Brethren, unlikened to anyone else. He is indeed that light that lighteth us. You know, we see that years ago when Sister Gladys and I started going to the chiropractor. He had this little sign there, and he always talks about being a bright light bulb. And naturally, it's a natural thing, but the natural mind comes up with all kinds of sayings. And the theory behind that is that one who has comes to get a chiropractic adjustment is much brighter. In other words, they feel much better, naturally speaking, than those that don't. And that was the theory behind that. But when we consider that one true light, that lighteth up all those who have been born out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light, there is no other light likened unto that light that we will ever see in this time world. Even that light, brethren, that we're blessed to see one in another. As we sojourn here. I mean, there is something when we are blessed to be in the Spirit, there's something about God's children in this world.
Amen.
That witnesses,
yes.
As we meet and greet one another. It doesn't really matter whether you have ever saw them before in a natural way in this world. That is not the point. The point is that when the Lord illuminates you, When the Lord abides in one of his little children in this dying world, it doesn't matter what denomination they're in. It doesn't matter if we think that they're way off, on the wrong path. When the Lord is there, brethren, and that light is illuminated, we ought to, brethren, praise his holy and righteous name because he is Lord of all.
Amen.
It ain't about what you think necessarily, brethren, but when God blesses you with that witness, oh, brethren, don't try to stifle that. Don't try to act like it's not there. The Lord, that is a help for us. You know, Brother Gary's talking about meeting other people who have atheism, and how much that is. It can be a comfort knowing that someone has gone through something that you're about to go through. And how the Lord has brought them through that. Brethren, when we see the Lord's own out there, brethren, that is an evidence that God has a people. That is an evidence, brethren, that they are kindred in Christ, regardless of where they might be, and their understanding or anything like that. They are the Lord's own.
Yeah.
That light cometh but from one place. You can't manufacture it. Oh, yeah, we know the scripture says that the adversary would disguise himself.
Yeah,
yeah, well, we know that. But brethren, the Lord is able to cut through all of that.
Yes.
And allow we as God's children to see that true light.
Sorry.
In our brethren as we sojourn in this time world. And we ought to be rejoicing.
Amen.
Oh, we ought to be glad, brethren. I mean, imagine a life. Imagine a life out in the world and you see no evidence of God out there at all. Not in his people. Not in anything, any goings on in this world. Imagine a life like that. But our God is merciful, brethren. And he allows us as we sojourn here to see the evidences of his work. Everywhere we look, all we need to do is open up our eyes and see. Sometimes I think we can be likened unto that little Elisha's servant. You remember the story? Elisha was providing information to the king of Israel about his enemies. And so everywhere the enemy would go, the king already knew it. And so the king was wondering, well, where's he getting that information from? All the king's servants. So he's getting it from the man of God. Who is the man of God? Elisha. So this king decides, well, we need to go and get this man of God. We need to put it into all of this. And so Elisha's servant comes out in the morning, and they're surrounded by that nation and its army. And that servant looks at Elisha and says, "Master, how shall we fare?" And Elisha simply says, "Lord, open up his eyes that he might see." And what picture did God provide that little servant? The army of the Most High encompassed the whole city.
Right.
Now, who's Lord of all?
Yeah.
That little king?
No.
Or the God of heaven? And my point is, brethren, when you find yourself being so-called surrounded by the obstacles of this world, remember who your Lord is. Remember that your Lord will deliver you in the army of the Most High, just as he was then. I truly believe that is a picture of how God provides for his children even this day. You know, we read, I know Brother Gary has in his time to read accountings of missionary people all over the world. And, you know, only the Lord knows knows their accounting of what happened. But how many times have they later encountered someone who had met them harm, and they wondered why, and the one who met harm at the time had now been moved by the Lord, and how that one moved that, "Well, I really wanted to, but you were surrounded." You were surrounded by a host, and that we wouldn't dare do that. Now, who do you think that host was?
Right.
If it wasn't the Lord. I mean, the Lord is able, brethren, to manifest his presence in any manner that he desires, and he can use anyone he wants to do that. So when the psalmist says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation," which just simply means he is the one who is going to deliver me.
Amen.
I mean, you know, we think about heaven. You know, we have that sweet hope that one sweet day heaven will be home. Don't you have that hope?
Amen.
That one sweet day when we leave this time world, heaven will be our home. Well, what about a savior today? I mean, what about you have a disagreement with your boss, or some kid at school was bugging you?
Right.
Well, who do you think is going to deliver you? Oh, you think you're going to man up and do it yourself? No, it don't work that way, you see, for God's little children. There's but one deliverance.
Amen.
And it won't be by your hand.
Right.
It will be by the hand of Almighty God, or it will not be a deliverance. It is simple as that. You know, one of my favorite people is Hezekiah. But you know, in all the cleaving to the Lord that Hezekiah did, and in all the desire that Hezekiah had to do the things that God would have him to do, you know that brother slipped up once and tried to do it on his own?
Sure.
He tried to buy the king off with all that gold, but did he deliver himself? No. Because as soon as the gold was gone, the king was right back at his door. No, that gold was not going to satisfy. Just like we can't change anybody's heart, gold and silver is not going to change him either. But praise be to God, we know a God who is able to change hearts. You know? And not only is he able to change hearts, he's able to have his way with a hardened heart. I just think of old Pharaoh. What did God say? "Is for this reason I have raised you up."
Right.
You know, see, Pharaoh thought he was all about that. But no. Pharaoh was raised up so that God would be glorified.
Amen.
That is why we are raised up, brethren. So that God is glorified. Not you, not me, but that God is glorified. It's easy to say to God, be the glory. What is much harder is to walk that way. Is to walk to the glory of our Father. To love mercy. Why? Because God has been merciful to you. God has showered his mercy down upon you. Even if you're unable to recognize what it is, brethren, all good things cometh by the hand of the Father of lights.
Amen.
Even if we don't have sense enough to figure it all out, if it's good, it cometh by the Father of lights.
Amen.
And not by our own devices, you see. So we're to love mercy, brethren. To love it. And how many times have I failed to be merciful to one that God has brought into my life? How many times, brethren? How many times do we have to be shown over and over and over again that God loveth obedience?
Yes.
More than sacrifice.
Right.
So when we're merciful, brethren, when we show mercy, we're being obedient, brethren, to the Father. We're being obedient to the God that we say that we love. You know, we can say, I love you, Lord, and go right down the street and we won't even speak to our neighbor. Now, what kind of conversation is that? And what manner of people are we anyway? Brethren, let us not be like the devil-minded man who looketh in the mirror, who turned away and forgot what manner of man he was, brethren. Let us not be that way. But let us pray that we're able to walk to the glory of Almighty God. Why? Because he has lifted you up in this world. It is he who has given you all that you have. It is he who sustains you. It is he who will carry you home out of this time world when that time comes.
Amen.
It is by his hand and his hand alone. That sweet song that we sing, that hand that strikes me to the dust.
Yeah.
It will be the same one that will raise me up to glory. Oh, how precious it is, brethren. We read words like this, that whom shall I fear?
Right.
When we can, and I consider this now. If you consider that the Lord is your light, and that the Lord is your salvation, then that other part of that verse, whom shall I fear? Except the Lord himself. You know, the fear of the Lord, Scripture tells us, is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge.
Yep.
I mean, so he says, well, why should I fear the Lord? Well, you're a fool if you don't. You see, you have no understanding if you don't fear the Lord. The Scripture tells us the fear of him is the beginning of understanding and knowledge.
Right.
So when the psalmist says, when we are blessed to see the Lord rightly where he is, when we're blessed to see now, and brethren, sometimes we have to cry out like that little servant. And like that, Father, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, that the Lord of glory might bless us to see who he is and that he is right there in our very midst. Now, how can the Lord tell you, that I will be with you always, even throughout the end of time? How can the Lord tell you that if he's not going to be there, you see? You think he's lying to you?
He does not lie.
God does not lie. Let every man be a liar. But let God be true.
Amen.
You know, he has promised that. You know, it's not like we had sense enough to ask him, oh, Lord, will you be with me? No, he's already told you.
Right.
I will be with you in every circumstance of life. But yet, brethren, we find ourselves feeling fearful and all alone Nobody loves me anymore. Nobody cares about me anymore. Nobody is here. Nobody wants to be my friend. Well, brethren, you have a friend that is above all friends. You have a Savior who is above all Saviors. Whom else do we need except the Lord Himself? Whom else do we need? We don't need anybody else. We don't need anybody else. He's all that we need. And we look around, well, that's not enough. Now, you say, well, Brother John, I don't say that. Well, Brother John has this question for you. Do you act like that? Do you act like that? That he's not enough. That I need more. I need something else. I need something tangible. I need something to satisfy this natural appetite of mine. I don't care what it is. I don't care what your appetite or what your brothers are. Doesn't really matter. But how many times do we find ourselves, brethren, neglecting our duty to commune with the Lord? How many times, brethren, do we find ourselves telling ourselves, well, I can do that later. It's not important. I mean, the Lord will always be there. I mean, He promised. Oh, Brother John, He promised me He will always be there. So I'm going to go over yonder for a while. And then maybe later on, I'll spend some time with the Lord. Well, I'm here to tell you, brethren, later on will never come unless the Lord of glory delivers us from our very selves. You see, brethren, we can be so cold and so hard-hearted that there is no way back for us except the Lord shower His mercy down upon us and brings that little lamb back into the fold. And then even then, brethren, we'll be good for a season. And then we'll find ourselves wandering right back in ourselves and doing the same old things over and over again. Oh, that sounds pitiful, doesn't it? But there's hope, you see. There's hope in our Lord and help, you see. You see, because you think about Hezekiah. Even though the brother slipped, the Lord did not forsake him. Even though the brother was looking for a deliverance somewhere else by his own means, the Lord remained steadfast and forever his Savior, you see. Because that king did come back. And this time, by the grace of Almighty God, King Hezekiah was moved to turn to the Lord. And the Lord provided a mighty deliverance, just as He does you and I in this time world. You know, we mess up. That's just who we are by nature. We're people that just mess up. But praise be to God, brethren, don't let us be fooled and duped by the adversary that just because you messed up, that the Lord is going to mess up too. Because your adversary, the devil, seeketh to devour you.
Yes.
He seeketh to snatch all that joy away. So every time you slip up, oh, he's there. He's there, so look at you now. You've been bad. The Lord don't care about you now. The Lord ain't going to deliver you now. My brethren, don't believe that. Hezekiah is a perfect example that the Lord, He is Lord. He will always been, has always been, and He always will be forevermore Lord of all. And He is your Lord, brethren. He has redeemed you unto Himself by the blood of the Lamb. And it's by that blood, brethren, that He has deemed you to be holy and righteous in His sight, sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, brethren, in accordance with his good pleasure. And on that one sweet day, you will all be raised up. All that the Father has given me,
right.
I will raise up on that given day. And not only that, no one will snatch them out of my hand, not the adversary, not anybody else. And no one will ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Blessed be his name, brethren, who has redeemed you by his own blood, and who has promised that he will be with you in every circumstance of life. Throughout all of time, brethren. Not just while you're sitting here, but while you're on the highways, when you're at home, when you're in your neighborhoods. It doesn't matter where you are in school. It doesn't matter where you are. The Lord is Lord. And he will always be with you. I find comfort in that.
Amen.
I find great comfort in that understanding. That my Lord is everywhere. You know, it's a funny story, but another example of deliverance. Sister Glass and I, many times I've been to Craigsville, you know. So we get off the highway, and I get off on the right exit, and I keep driving, and I just look at Sister Glass, and I said, this place don't look familiar. I said, I don't remember all of this. It just doesn't look familiar, you know. And I knew, you know, guys will be guys. I knew I was going the wrong way. I knew it. But no, I kept going. I said, no, well, maybe. And, you know, there's a highway. I don't know if you've ever been on it. There's a highway 41, I think, and 55. I said, there's a highway. I thought I should have gotten to it where it cuts in here by now. I kept driving. I don't know, even 10 miles, maybe. This sinner was driving, no words, for 10 miles. But praise be to God, he brought me to a stop sign. I had to stop, and there was a gas station there. I looked at Sister Glass, I said, I've never seen that gas station before. In all the times I've come to Brother Stan's, I've never seen that gas station before. So surely I'm in the wrong place. So I took out my little iPhone. It plugged in Craigsville. It was 30 minutes away. It was 30 minutes away. I was going in the wrong direction. And I get back on the highway. I said, oh, Sister Glass, you remember passing this before? Not only did we go the wrong way, the way I went, I actually looped back and came back from where I was coming on a different highway, but coming right back in the same direction. But you see, brethren, that is another example of how the Lord delivers us. The Spirit was telling me, you're going the wrong way. But his own nature says, now, you know, something is bound to pop up. Okay, the stop sign popped up. The stop sign of the gas station that I've ever seen popped up. Which made this fool realize that you're going the wrong way. You're in the wrong place. But brethren, as funny as that may seem, my Lord didn't desert me. My Lord provided a way for the sinner to get back. And don't think that grabbing the iPhone was just a natural thought either. You know, it's the Lord provides for us, brethren, in every aspect of life. All we need to do is be blessed to ask. And sometimes, even when we're too stupid to ask, he put stop signs there at a gas station that you're totally unfamiliar with to bring you to your senses to realize you need help for that. You need a deliverance out of your condition, and he provides it to you. So your stop signs might not always be literal like Brother John's, but the Lord does provide them.
He sure does.
He provides them for us, brethren, and let us pray that we will be blessed of him to simply recognize it and seek his counsel, and he doth deliver.
Amen.
Blessed be his name.
Amen. I think I've made that same turn. Oh, praise God. God bless you.